Father God, we bow before you this morning to say thank you for this beautiful day that you've given to us. And Lord, now we open our Bibles to read from your word. May our hearts be open to receive your word. And Father, may you apply it in our lives in such a way that we might honor and glorify your name as we apply your word in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. I ask you to turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 3. Again, this started out as a one sermon thought about 2 or 3 weeks ago now, and I really doubt that I'm going to finish it today. There's just so much to be said about this subject of learning to trust the Lord. And it is something that we have to learn to do. It's a process that takes place in our lives as we grow and as we mature in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's something that, quite honestly, it doesn't come naturally. It doesn't come naturally for us to trust the Lord. We want to take control. We want to have the final say-so. We want to have the final direction in our lives. And so it's a process of letting go of ourselves. Jesus said, deny ourselves that we might follow Jesus. So learning to trust Him, that was the initial thought that I began with, I guess, 3 weeks ago now. And then 2 weeks ago, because last week I talked about learning to use what God has given you. Learn to use that which God has given you, the gift, the talent, the ability to do. You know, sometimes we hear it, the question asked, well, I just don't know what the will of God is for my life. Well, we find it in God's Word, but also, more times than not, He's already given us the ability to do His will in our lives. If we just stop to realize the gift that we have, the ability that God has given to us, we have that ability to do that. So we learn to use what we have and place it in God's hands, trusting Him for guidance and direction in our lives. This morning I want to talk about learning about the one that we're trusting. Learning more about God. Learning more about Him. And I have found that you cannot put God in this nice little neat package and say this is God and this is how He's going to act and what He's going to do every single time or every single day in our lives. Because every time I try to put Him in that box, He just bounces right out of it and says, well, look over here. Well, look at this, what I'm going to do here. So we learn more about Him as we study God's Word. And then as we learn to trust Him, we learn more about who He is and how He deals with us in life. So, Exodus chapter 3, I'm going to read quite a bit of scripture again this morning, the first 17 verses. Exodus chapter 3, starting with verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. In other words, he wanted to find out why that bush wasn't burning up. I'll turn aside and I'll see this great sight and why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Here's that conversation that now begins between God and Moses. God calls his name. Moses answers, here am I. And he, God said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am. And those two words, I hope that will be even more dear to our hearts when we leave today than they were when we came in. God said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey, into the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he, God, said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. And I'm going to add, even unto this very day. This is the memorial of God, that He is that He is. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob hath appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. May the Lord add His blessings to the reading of His Word this morning as we think about learning more about who God is and what that implication has for us in our daily lives. One thing that, as I was reading it, and I kept was tempted to go back and touch on it, but I wanted to keep that flow going as I was reading from the Word of God, and that is in verse 7, God said, the very last thing that He said in verse 7 is, I know their sorrows. In order for us to understand who God is and what He means to us each and every day, we have to understand that there is that connection. I'm going to talk about that in just a few minutes. But there is that connection that God knows and God understands. He knows where we are. He knows what's going on in our lives. He knows how to deal with what's going on in our lives. He knows how to see us through it, to bring us through. That's the whole point of this, is that if I can't understand that God has empathy for me, that God understands what I'm going through, that God understands my feelings, my thought process, how that I'm trying to deal with day after day after day. If God doesn't understand that, then quite honestly, there's no connection. There's no basis for us to trust Him. If He doesn't understand, I will admit to you that there have been times in my ministry that people have come to me and talked about things that are going on in their life, and I really have nothing to say in reply to that because I don't know what they're going through. I've never experienced that. I've never come to that place where I can say, well, I understand how you feel. Because quite honestly, I don't. But I'm thankful that in that conversation that I can in turn point them, remind them, direct them back to the very one who does understand, the one who does know, the one who has love and care and compassion and sympathy for everything that we're going through. And so God, one of the first things that He says to Moses in answering this question of who am I going to say sent me? He told him who He is, but then he told him about His character. And that is, He knows. He knows and He understands. And so it's important for us, if we're going to learn to trust God, we have to understand that He places Himself in the situation with us. And I'm going to deal with that again in just, again, a little bit more in the next part. But I think last Sunday when I closed out, I closed out with the thought and asked you to think about through the week the statement that when Moses asked the question, when they asked me, and he knew they were going to ask him, when they asked me, who sent you? Who put you in this place? Who gave you the authority to come and to say that you're going to take us out? When they asked who sent you, what am I supposed to say? What shall I say to them when they ask who sent you? And to that question, God said in verse 14, if your Bible's like mine, it's all in capital letters. I am that I am. I am that I am. I want us to think about that statement concerning God answering that question. I am that I am. Because when I read that, my question is, who is I am? Who is I am? And that almost sounds weird coming out of my mouth to ask that question. Not just weird that I would ask it, but even the flow of the words doesn't jive with me. Who is I am? It's almost like it's a different language coming out of my mouth. But yet it is a logical question. It's one that we really need to come to an understanding. And I'm not going to tell you that I have full understanding of it. I'm not going to stand here and tell you that when I get through today, you're going to know exactly who I am is. But I pray that I give you some points to think about as you think about who is this great I am. Some have explained it in this manner, that when we come to the place of saying, Lord, I need enlightenment. I need direction in my life. I need some understanding in my life. There's things happening that I just don't understand. And to that, God would say, I am enlightenment. I am understanding. I am wisdom. James said, if any man lack wisdom, ask God and he will give abundantly the wisdom and understanding that we need. So one explanation of who is I am, well, he's wisdom. Proverbs talks about wisdom a lot, and the wisdom that's spoken of in Proverbs is the Lord himself, speaking of Jesus concerning him being wisdom. Someone else might say, well, Lord, I'm broken. I'm hurting. My heart is aching. My heart is broken because of this or that or the other that has taken place in my life. And Lord, I'm hurting. And to that, God would answer, I am the mender of broken hearts. Isaiah 61. That he puts those pieces back together. He's the potter. And we're the clay. And when we become broken in spirit, when we become brokenhearted, when we come to that place of disappointment in life that we don't know which way to go, he says, I am the mender of hearts. And y'all probably never have to deal with this one. But when you say, well, Lord, I have this terrible habit that I just can't break. I keep telling myself, I'm never going to do that again. I'm never going to get caught up in that. I'm never going to allow that to come upon me again. And next thing I know, I'm right back in the middle of it. Lord, I need help. I can't get rid of this. I can't overcome this on my own. To which he says, I am the chain breaker. I am the one that chain that has you bound, that you can't seem to shake it. You can't seem to get free of it. Remember the Gadarene that made his abode in the tombs? He lived among the tombs, and when Jesus went over there to greet him, to meet him, and to heal him, he found him with those chains on. The chains had been broken, and people had tried to chain him, had tried to bind him, tried to drive out those demons. But it was with one word that Jesus drove out those demons that were in him. And when the people came from the village, they found him sitting and clothed and in his right mind, because the chain breaker came, didn't try to bind him down, but rather freed him and released him into the liberty of life in Christ Jesus. He is the chain breaker. Someone else might say, Lord, I feel all alone. I feel I'm lonely. I don't know which way to turn. I don't know what to do. And to that he says, I am with you. And I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. I'll never turn and walk away from you. I'll never leave you on your own. He is our constant companion. He's promised us. He says, even to the end of the world, I will be with you always. He is the great I am. And someone else might say, Lord, I need peace. I need peace inside. I'm churning inside. I don't know what to do. And it's just, it has me in its grips. And I can't seem to get rid of it. I can't seem to have that peace of mind and peace of heart, to which he says, I am the Prince of Peace. And I will give you that peace. You see, all of those things are answers. And I would not disagree with any of them. I wouldn't have spoken them in sincerity if I disagreed with them. I believe it's John who has, I think it's 7 I am sayings of Jesus Christ. I am the light. I am the living water. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the vine. That's 6. I can't remember the 7th one. But I believe there are 7 sayings that Jesus said, I am. And you can take each one of those and apply it in our lives. And certainly it's true because Jesus said it. But how did God answer? That would be my interpretation. One of my interpretations of who is that I am is. But I believe that the deeper answer to that comes in the way that God answered that question to Moses. The answer is given in Scripture. It's given right here. And for years, I'll admit, for years I read right past it. For years I wondered, what did he mean when he said, I am that I am? And certainly one thing about it is that God never changes. He didn't say, I was who I am, or I will be who I am. He said, I am that I am. God never changes. His dealings with his people are always based upon the very fact that he is the unchangeable God. And in the book of Malachi, I believe it is, he says, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, because I don't change, you're not consumed. Here's my plug for Bible study. We talked this morning about sometimes we want to get even with somebody. Can you imagine if God was to get even with me? I'd be a pile of ashes standing right here before you right now if God dealt with me according to him changing according to how that my life was. And no offense, you would be too. Because we're fickle. We change. We change every day. We change from one moment to the next. We can go from being happy, I don't believe in luck, but here's the saying, happy-go-lucky, to being caught up with anger and vengeance and within just one sentence. We can change that quick. Our joy can be taken away from us because of one sentence or one word or one look or one thought. Can you imagine if God was affected by that? Can you imagine what our lives would be like if God changed with every situation and circumstance that he had to deal with me? I'll leave you out of it. He says, I don't change. And because I don't change, you're not consumed. I rejoice in that. I rejoice in the fact that I'm able to stand here and say, I love my Lord. I love God. I love who he is. I love everything about him. I don't understand everything about him, but I love him because he first loved me. So it's important to understand that when he said that to Moses, and why I mentioned in verse 15 about this is my memorial unto all generations, the same God that spoke to Moses from that burning bush speaks to us today from his word. And his Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts and our minds the same today as he did to Moses. So how did God answer that question? Let's read it again. I'm in verse 14. They end of verse 13 where God, where Moses said, when they ask me what your name is, what am I supposed to say? How am I supposed to answer that when they say, who is this that sent you? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. Now if he stopped right there, we would have all those other answers and they'd be true. But it wouldn't bring us to the very basic fundamental foundation of why those other things are true. In other words, if we don't have the answer that he's about to give, and I'm doing this on purpose so that we'll get built up trying to think, what is he saying when he said, you tell him I am has sent me. If his answer is not true, then he's not enlightenment. If his answer is not true, then he's not the mender of broken hearts. If his answer is not true that he said to Moses, he's not the chain breaker. If his answer is not true that he said to Moses, his promise of saying, I'll never leave you or forsake you is not true. If his answer to Moses is not true, then to say that he's the Prince of Peace is not true. But his answer to Moses is true. And it is important for us to understand in our process of learning to trust Him, it's important to understand how it is that He answered Moses when Moses said, who are you? Remember, Moses had spent for I don't know how many years that he was placed back into the hands of his mother by Pharaoh's daughter, but there was a time when his mother raised him up and then she gave him back to the daughter of Pharaoh. But for the first 40 years, basically the first 40 years of his life, he was raised up in the Egyptian palace as the grandson of Pharaoh. And then the next 40 years, he was in, you'll find this in chapter 2, I'm getting to the answer, I promise you, but I want us to see Moses' frame of mind when he's asking this question. In chapter 2 and verse 15, it tells us where he was when this appearance and exchange came between him and God. He was in the land of Midian. Now, again, I like the definitions. What does Midian mean? Well, you say, well, that was the land that he was. It was a desert place, and he went there and he tended the sheep of Jethro, and Jethro became his father-in-law because Jethro gave his daughter Zipporah to Moses to marry. And so for 40 years he was a shepherd. For 40 years he was in the wilderness. For 40 years he took care of the sheep. So he's 80 years old when this takes place. He's 80 years old when God appears to him. He's 80 years old when this conversation is going between him and God as to what God was calling him to do and his lack of enthusiasm, to say the least, of doing and following and doing what God told him to do. He was in the land of Midian. So, as I looked at that this week, I'm thinking, the land of Midian, what does that have to do with where Moses is at? So I looked up the word Midian. And it's a land of strife. It's a land of contention. And his father-in-law was the prince of Midian, the priest of Midian. He was surrounded by contention. He was surrounded by strife. And I think even more than that, he had it inside of him. Because you think back on his life, and for those first 40 years, the first 80 years, but especially the last 40 years, I'll get it right in a minute, these past 40 years, he's been in this wilderness place. We'd call it no man's land. He was a Jew, but he couldn't identify with them at that moment. He was raised as an Egyptian. He would not identify with them at that moment. So here he was in a place of contention, a place of strife, a place where that he didn't fit in. Have you ever felt that? Have you ever felt that you were in a place that you just didn't fit in? You look around and you say, what am I doing here? How did I get here? What's going on that caused this to come to this place where this strife and discontentment is inside of me? That's where he was. What made me think about that is when I began to read the text yesterday, trying to go over my thoughts again, the first word in verse 1 jumped out at me. You looking down to see what the first word is? It's now. It's now. There was a before, but there is a now. Now, as Moses was there, and then now, as Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, and he had no idea what God was doing in his life up to that point. And yet, I believe as I look back, and I'm able to look back to see the fullness of it, God was working in his life from the moment he was born to the moment of now. And bringing him from his past to now. Listen, I'm not the only one that's going to admit this. I don't want you to raise your hand, but just think about it. Do you have a past? Do you have a past? Is there something in your life that you just soon would never come out? Do you have a past? Do you have something in your life that you said, if I could just go back and do it again? If I could just go back, if I'd say that to myself, I'm afraid if I could go back, I'd make it worse than the first time. We all have a past, but thank God we have a now. We have a this moment, and we have to come to that place where we understand that we have a right now, that we understand that God has brought us to this place. So as we think about that and we understand that God has brought us through all of our trials, what is the song Amazing Grace? Through many trials, toils, and snares I have already come. But God has, grace has brought me this far and grace will lead me home. There is a now and it's all because of God's amazing grace. Thank you, Sister Tommy, for playing that at the beginning of the service this morning. It's all because of God's amazing grace. Anything. When Paul wrote the scripture that I read at the beginning of the service, I hope you noticed, and maybe you didn't, but Paul made a statement that is absolutely so close to being what God said that if you're not careful, you'll miss it. 1 Corinthians 15, and I think it's verse 10. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Now, what's the difference between what Paul said and what God said? A world of difference. God said, I am that I am. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. There's a big difference. We are now, we are right now in this moment by God's grace. By God's grace, He's brought us here because He is that I am. Now, okay, I've got 7 minutes to tell you what the answer is. I am that I am. I know I've got longer than that, but and I may take it, but I am that I am. That meant something. It meant something to Moses, and though the people were slow in accepting it whenever Moses went back with that answer, it meant something to them. And God gives us the explanation. I read verse 14, now verse 15 of Exodus chapter 3. And God said moreover unto Moses, in other words, He's not just going to leave it to Moses' imagination. He said, I am that I am. But moreover, let me tell you what that means. Let me tell you what it means that I am that I am. I am that I am. Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me. Wait a minute, he just said, tell them I am has sent me. And now he's expounded upon that. That was our word this morning, wasn't it? He's expounded upon that. He's broadened it out for us to understand who that I am is. That I am is the God of Abraham. That I am is the God of Isaac. And that I am is the God of Jacob. Now, why is that important for us to understand that even today? Why is it important for us to see that that is a memorial unto God? It really deserves a lot more time than I'm going to give it this morning. I hope we can just take this deep inside of us. For Him to say, I am the God of Abraham, says that He is the God of covenant. He is the God of promise. Remember what He said to Abraham as He called him out? He said, I'll show you where I'm going to take you. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee. I will make thy name great. And you will be a blessing because of who I am. I am your God. And because if we can come to that understanding that He's the God of Abraham, He's the God of promise. He's the God that every promise that is in His Word, there has not been one of them that ever has failed, nor will it ever fail. So if we're going to learn to trust Him, we've got to learn to trust His promises. We sing that song, don't we? Standing on the promises of God. Do we really mean it? Do we really mean it when we sing that song? Are we willing to stand upon His promises? If we know Him as He truly is, the God of Abraham, and that His promises are true. Paul would put it this way, His promises are amen. In other words, as it is, so shall it ever be. Every promise He's ever made. I'm the God of Abraham. I am, you tell them that I am. Which I am? The God of Abraham. I am the God of Abraham. When He appeared to Abraham, later, let me find my place here. Thought I had it right where I wanted it to be. Yeah, here it is. He said when He appeared to Abraham, when Abraham was 90 years old, He appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am. Now, there is no coincidence of words in the Scripture. I am the Almighty God. So what was He saying to Moses when He said, I am that I am? He's saying, I still am the Almighty God. I am the God of promise. I'm the one who told you. I'm the one who brought you out. I'm the one that showed you where you're going to go. I'm the one that made all these promises to you. And I am the Almighty God. And therefore, because I made those promises and because I am the Almighty God, you can have peace and assurance in your life that God is going to do exactly what He said He's going to do. So He's the God of Abram, the God of promise. I'll lead you and I'll bless you. He's the God of Isaac, the God of provision. Remember when Abraham and Isaac were walking up the mountain? When God said to Abraham, take Isaac, your son, your only son, the one that you love. Don't be misunderstanding about the one I'm talking about. I'm talking about Isaac, the promised son. You take Isaac up there to that mountain and there you sacrifice him to me. And as they're walking up the mountain, and Isaac, who was evidently aware of what was necessary in order for worship to take place, as he was looking around, he said, Father, I see the fire. I see the wood. And he doesn't mention it, but I'm sure he saw the knife also. He said, but where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? And Abraham looked at him and he said, my son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Again, stay with me on this, please. God will provide. He's the God of promise. He's the God of provision. He will provide. And then we find Jacob, that old deceiver, that one that thought he could cheat his way through life and get anything he wanted to by his own means. Until God brought him down. But when God brought him down, God said to him, now, your name was Jacob, but now your name is Israel. You were a deceiver, but now you have power with God. So he was saying to Jacob, I will show you, like Jacob didn't want to go back to his brother. But God said, you're going to go back to your brother before I take you any farther. How can I do that? I'll show you the way. It's exactly what God was saying to him. So when God said to Moses, I am that I am. I'm the God of Abraham. I'm the God of promise. I'm the God of Isaac. I'm the God of provision. I'm the God of Jacob. I'm the God that'll make a way. Listen, all of these things had to be settled in the heart and mind of Moses before he could ever... Do you remember where I left them 3 weeks ago? I said it last week, I'll say it again. I left them in a hole in the ground. They were hiding in a pit whenever I came back to these flashbacks. We're going to go back to that, Lord willing, next Sunday. But right now, Moses is having to be settled in his own mind as to who God is. That God is calling him, And when God gave these explanations, I'm the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, Moses was able to understand, okay, Lord, you promised, and you'll do it. I can't do it, Lord. I can't even talk. I can't stand in front of people. But you said you would show me the way, so I'm trusting you, Lord. It took him a while to get there, but I'm trusting you, Lord. I'm going to go right where you did. Listen, when we come to that place of understanding who God is, to understand He is the God of covenant, He's the God of promise, and nothing can break one promise that God has made to us. Not one thing. So as we come to this understanding that God has a covenant kinship with us, He's the Almighty God, but He is our Heavenly Father. And as our Heavenly Father, He loves us with a love that will not stop. One last thing in closing, a side note, as He said to Moses, He said, I've visited you. I've said, I'll bring you out of your affliction. I heard their cries. I know their sorrows. I'm here. And I'm going to bring them out. But Moses, I'm going to use you to do it. I'm going to bring you out. He says, I'm going to take you to a land. And He said this twice. He said, I'm going to take you to a land that is filled with... Let me read it real quick. I'm going to take you out of this affliction of Egypt into a land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and the Jebusites. I've said this so many times. Wouldn't it be wonderful when God caused us to be born again? When He gave us that new life, wouldn't it be wonderful if He took away every temptation, if He took away every strife, if He took away every contention? Wouldn't it be wonderful if He just placed us in a perfect world? Or would we take it for granted? Would our trust in Him somehow come to a stop? He said, I'm going to bring you out of Egypt. And I'm going to take you to that land that I promised. He promised Abraham. In fact, I didn't read it, but in either chapter 15 of Genesis or 17, He said to Abraham, your people are going to be in a land that is not theirs in affliction for 400 years. But I'm going to visit them and I'm going to bring them out. And I'm going to take them to that land that I've shown you, Abraham, a land that is a land that flows with milk and honey. But listen, in that land there's going to be Canaanites and Hivites and Jebusites and Hittites and all the other ites that are there. Because Abraham and Moses and Steve and you, there's still going to be struggles. There's still going to be problems that we have to deal with. There's still going to be illnesses. There's still going to be accidents. There's still going to be diseases. There's still going to be things that are contrary to us. But God says, in the process of getting you there, I'm going to teach you to trust me. I'm going to teach you to trust me. It's a process. And like one dear sister told me years ago, she's gone on to be with the Lord now. And she said, when you get to the place where that you feel like that you're right there, that you can trust Him, and you've got things going your way, He takes us home. I'm kind of glad of that, aren't you? I'm kind of glad that when we get to that place, He says, all right, now come on home. Come on home. I've got the true promised land ready for you right now. But in the meantime, He says, I am that I am. I am the Almighty God. He would reveal Himself to Moses in a more intimate term later than that. But for the beginning, that's all Moses needed to know. All power belongs to God. Can I tell us, every one of us this morning, to begin with, that's all we need to know. He's God. I'm not. You're not. But He is. And we can trust Him. We can trust Him. May we pray.